More COVID-19 cases detected in the athletes' village ahead of this week's opening of the Tokyo Olympics. Indonesia reports a record number of deaths among its doctors as it struggles with a coronavirus surge. The Philippines records its third Delta variant death. We'll be speaking to Professor Ranjit Rai of the Okta Research Group on their suggestion for stricter border controls to prevent the Delta strain from spreading further. We're also going to talk to the professor about their suggestion to have GCQ in place with restrictions. And over 20 governors backing the possible vice presidential bid of President Rodrigo Duterte. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Let's begin with this story. Tokyo Olympic organizers scrambling to deal with several COVID-19 cases among athletes and officials who arrived for the Games. The latest infections come with just 4 days to go before the start of the Olympics.
Tokyo Olympics organizers on Sunday reported the first COVID-19 cases among competitors residing in the athletes' village. It comes as its population swells ahead of the start of the pandemic-hit Games. Two athletes from the same country and competing in the same sport staying in the village in the Harumi Waterfront District tested positive for the virus, organisers said. Organisers on Sunday reported 10 new cases connected to the Olympics, down from 15 new cases a day earlier. South Africa reported 3 positive cases in its soccer squad. This the response from the IOC's Olympic Games Executive Director, Christoph Dubé.
There is no such thing as zero risk, and that we all agree. At the same time, the mingling and crossing of population is incredibly limited.
The new infections are testing the layered testing regime designed to ensure COVID cases are quickly caught and isolated. Proponents argue that the growing number of cases underscores the strength of the testing system. Infection rates are climbing among Tokyo's general population, topping 1,000 new cases for 5 consecutive days. Polls show many Japanese oppose holding the Games with the influx of overseas visitors it entails.
Some of the world's top tennis players have withdrawn from the Tokyo Olympics due to COVID-19 concerns. The latest to pull out, American star Coco Gauff, who tested positive.
American tennis star Coco Gauff said on Sunday that she will not compete in the Tokyo Olympics after testing positive for COVID-19. The 17-year-old was set to become the youngest Olympic tennis player since 2000, but instead joined a number of the world's top players who have already pulled out of the Tokyo Games. In a post on Twitter, Gauff said, quote, "It has always been a dream of mine to represent the USA at the Olympics, and I hope there will be many more chances for me to make this come true in the future." Gauff was going to compete in both the singles and doubles competitions. Several of the sport's biggest names, including Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer, Serena Williams, and Simona Halep, have already announced their decision to skip the Tokyo Games, which are scheduled to begin on Friday.
Over in Indonesia, COVID-19 deaths among doctors rise sharply. In the first half of July, 114 doctors died from July 1 to 17. That's 20% of the 545 total doctor deaths in the country since the beginning of the pandemic. The increase comes despite a 95% vaccination rate among health workers in the world's fourth most populous nation. Indonesia has been logging a record number of infections over the past week due to the Delta variant. Vietnam imposing 2-week mobility curbs on more areas as the country faces its worst COVID-19 outbreak. Restrictions that were earlier introduced in the country's south will now be expanded to 16 areas, including the capital, Hanoi. Domestic flights from the south have also been suspended until August 1st. Vietnam's daily COVID-19 cases hit a new record of nearly 6,000 infections, raising its total to 53,800 with 254 deaths. Singapore, which is also dealing with an unprecedented rise in new cases, tells unvaccinated people to stay home. On Sunday, it reported 88 new locally transmitted cases, the highest daily death toll, or make that daily toll rather, since August last year. Authorities believe the growing clusters of infections is linked to karaoke bars and a fishery port. Though the city state's daily cases are just a fraction of the number of its Southeast Asian neighbors, the jump in infections is a setback for Singapore, which has successfully contained earlier outbreaks. It also has one of the widest vaccine coverages in the world. About 73% of Singapore's population has received at least one dose. The Philippines logged 5,411 new COVID-19 cases Sunday. This brings the nationwide tally to more than 1,507,000. Of that number, over 47,100 remain active. 117 more people died, while over 5,400 recovered. The Delta variant claims another life in the Philippines. The health department has recorded a third patient who died due to the more transmissible strain. The latest victim was from Antique. The DOH, meanwhile, clarifies the confirmed Delta variant case in Taguig City is a returning overseas worker and not a local case. Last week, the country reported 16 new Delta variant infections. 11 of those were local cases who had no travel history abroad. But until now, the DOH could not confirm if there has been local transmission of the Delta variant. COVID-19 Delta variant patients in Cagayan de Oro already tagged as recovered. That's according to Cagayan de Oro Mayor Oscar Moreno. He adds their close contacts were also isolated in a separate facility. Because of these cases, the mayor says Cagayan de Oro has been placed under enhanced community quarantine, the strictest lockdown level.
Itong ECQ natin is not because we have an extraordinary number of cases, nor because our health system is being severely threatened or overwhelmed. No, hindi naman yan ang dahilan. Kung hindi yung na-detect na Delta variant, sometime late June, we had our own share of surges, pero mataas talaga, mga umabot kami ng over 100 cases, no, and per day, and talagang pamilya sa opisina. We suspected, although alam natin na yung genomic examination is done at random and parang once a week lang pinapadala sa Manila yung samples, no, ng rayon, no.
Private hospitals in the Philippines do not have enough personnel in case the local transmission of the Delta variant causes another infection surge. That warning from Dr. Jose De Grano. He's president of the Private Hospitals Association of the Philippines. Dr. De Grano says the delayed reimbursement for COVID-19 cases by state health insurer PhilHealth also adds to the burden of private hospitals.
Ang inaangal nila po ay yung mga COVID cases noong 2020. Sabi nga po doon sa isang survey na huling ginawa ng PHA at PHAPI ay mga 4% pa lang 4%. Po ang naibabayad sa mga ospital. Ang mga ospital naman po ay lagi nakahanda. No? Ang nagiging limitasyon lang po siguro namin ay kapag dumating ang time na talagang ngayon po kasi kulang talaga ang aming staff, ang mga nurses. Ano? Sana naman po ay kayanin ng ating mga private hospitals kasi yun nga po ang problema. Kaya namin maglagay ng kama, ang problema ay ang staff natin.
The Octa Research Group calling for stricter border controls around Metro Manila and nearby provinces. That's after local cases of the highly contagious Delta variant were found in the National Capital Region and other areas. There's also a proposal to again ban children from going outside. Joining us now is Professor Ranjit Rai of the Octa Research Group. Professor, good afternoon to you. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Carmina. Good afternoon to all our televiewers.
Would it be safe to say that really the Delta variant is here? There is an investigation underway with regard to local transmission, but how important is it now? How imperative is it to have stricter border controls and to impose once again GCQ with restrictions, Professor?
I think it's imperative. You know, this is what we had a meeting with Octa Research Fellows this morning over our messenger group. And we raised, it's basically, a call to action. You know, we need to raise the alarm. We're kind of worried about the lack of urgency, the seeming complacency, not just among our citizens, but also with the national government in particular. So, we understand that all things are political and they had just announced a GCQ without restrictions. But now that we know for certain that Delta is here, we're trying to confirm if there's local transmission. But my sense is the experience of other countries and the lessons learned from other countries is very clear. We need to be vigilant. Mm. We need to act with urgency. And there's a need for us to be proactive. And when we say proactive, it's not just in expanding hospital capacity, which, by the way, we're not doing very well. You know, Dr. Degrano is completely correct. Hospital capacity is not just beds and ventilators, although those are very important, and oxygen tanks, especially with Delta. Hospital capacity expansion means expanding personnel. We also need to urgently now look at active case finding. That means expanding testing and contact tracing. Do you know, Carmina, that the budget for contact tracing will end likely in August for most of the country? And this is the contact tracing budget from the DILG. So we're urging the DILG to continue to fund that and to fund the existing contact tracers now, because we don't have time to train for contact tracing again. It will take a lag. So we need to continuously focus on what's important. And the prevention detection plan, isolation program, the government, we just have to stick to that. Now, what about prevention? I don't think our citizens are aware that the Delta variant presents itself differently from the traditional understanding of the COVID we understand, with high fever and all of
this. Yeah, so tell us about it. How does it present itself?
Well, from what our doctors in Octa are saying, it could be presented as simply as a cold or a headache. Mm. So we need to start informing our people about the reality of this challenge. Mm. And it's not a question of if anymore, Carmina, it's a question of when. When will it explode? So do we act when it explodes, or do we do it proactively by starting to ramp up, to roll back all those initiatives that we started to loosen up the quarantine in the NCR in particular? Or do we? What do we do now? Do we start slowly imposing restrictions?
Yeah. Let me go.
We don't have to close the economy, Carmina.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. We don't need to close the economy. We just need to make mobility and social gatherings limited.
I want to talk to you about the latest info that we got from the DOH. Okay. You have a 63, these are the three deaths. 63-year-old male returning OFW from MV Athens. He died May 19th. You have a 78 female local from Baybay in Antique, died May 30th. And then you have a 58-year-old female, it's considered a local case, from Pandacan, who died June 28th. Professor, what do these cases tell you?
There's an urgent need to act now. And it has to be a concerted effort by communities, by the local government, by the private sector, and the national government. And I can't overestimate the importance of border controls. I can't overestimate the idea of contemplating a GCQ with more restrictions. We're not going to close the economy up. We're just going to ask people who are not vaccinated not to go out as often. We're going to ask restaurants to keep capacity, but focus indoor dining for vaccinated people and outdoor dining for unvaccinated people. We're going to ask local governments to enforce and monitor minimum public health. What's so wrong about that? And what's so wrong about coming out and telling people this is the challenge? We will be overwhelmed if this explodes, especially because, in a place like NCR. Now, but the other places like CDO is now in place. Davao City and Cebu in particular is heating up. We need to focus effort on informing the public, empowering them with information, and telling them that, you know, it's in their hands.
Yeah. Earlier on, Professor, you were talking about, you know, learning from the current experiences, current situation in other countries. We're not talking about, you know, last year what they experienced. This is currently ongoing in other countries. You have the situation, for example, where in the US, where the CDC is already warning of a pandemic of the unvaccinated. And we're talking about a country here that has record-breaking vaccination numbers. So the question now is, if the US is experiencing such, if Indonesia is grappling with it, India still continues to be on a tailspin because of this, what might this mean for a country like the Philippines?
You know, it's really hard. You know, it's extremely hard to contemplate how bad it can be. You know, my sense is our group is saying if the virus hits the Philippines, particularly a place like the National Capital Region, all the surges we experienced over the last year will just look like a walk in the park. We will break records here, and the cost to life and livelihoods will be so significant. It will be a devastation of a very high order. So that's why now that we're in the calm before the storm, let's do something. Let's learn from the surge of March. Let's learn from the surge in other countries. We cannot be reactive to this. We have to be proactive. We have to crush it before it happens. And that means contemplating quick lockdowns of whole regions, whole cities, once we reach, say, 100 or 200 cases. We can't wait for it to reach 5,000 cases. We will be devastated for the whole year. It will have impact on the elections next year. You see, Professor, when it happens in NCR, it will spread to the provinces. Right now, we're seeing it possibly could be in places like Cebu, Davao, or, you know, we still need to get the data on that with the Genome Center. Mm-hmm. Biosurveillance is at its best, but it's not enough.
Professor.
So right now, we have to prepare. So that's why we need to let our people know this is the challenge. This is the urgency that needs to be done. These are the things we need to do at the individual level, but the government has to ramp up testing and tracing. It has to become strict. We cannot deal with this with measures that are not appropriate or even timely. So this
I'm gonna give it to you straight. This kind of feels like deja vu for me, because we talked about this before the March surge happened.
I know. It happens. The best of us, even countries like the United States, Indonesia. I mean, let's just go to Indonesia. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are not vigilant, if you underestimate this virus, especially this Delta variant, it's going to kick in and it's going to hurt you really bad. And Indonesia is reeling from it. Okay. Mm-hmm. The devastation will have not just economic, not just health consequences. It will have political consequences on the local government and on the mayors who are going to run in the next election, on the president and his party as it goes through its legacy mode. So, you know, we need to just do this proactively. Okay. We need to save lives. We need to save the economy. We have to keep it open. And the best way, the best science is telling us prevention is important. Detection is important. So testing has to be active. Contact tracing has to be in place. And right now, we're in a good place to expand all of those things. We're in a good place to tell our people, get yourself vaccinated now. Mm-hmm. Now is the time to get vaccinated. No, in NCR, something like 10% of the population is vaccinated. We're testing Okta. If we can reach 30%, it will be great. You know, with more Delta ready, we'll be able to mitigate some of the worst effects of this. I don't think we can prevent it right now. It's in the country, but we can mitigate its impact. And we've seen from the lessons of everywhere else, vaccination works, testing, tracing, and isolation works. citizenship and leadership works, and a proactive government response that's timely and appropriate works.
When you talk about vaccination, Professor Rai, how does this Delta variant change things? I mean, in other countries, they're now talking about 90%.
Yeah.
We're not even close to a fraction of that.
Yeah.
What will it mean for the Philippines now that the Delta variant is really revising targets left and right?
Which is why we have to crush it before it takes hold. We can't wait for it to explode. The moment we see a sign of explosion somewhere, we need to lock down maximum prejudice against this virus, meaning we have to crush it before it becomes takes foothold. It will. It will try. It will take foothold, but we can still mitigate it, you know? And it's true. The more we get vaccinated, whatever that vaccine is, the more we will be able to slow it down. The studies in the U.S. show that 30% of any population, okay, vaccinated, slows down the spread of Delta. So we're there in NCR. Let's stick to the NCR plus 8 plan. Mm. Let's not deviate from that plan. Let's get this place vaccinated. Okay, that includes Cebu and Davao. Let's also put some allocation for CDO because we know that they're part of that continuum now. It's NCR plus 10, no? So let's stick to the plan. Let's encourage everyone, especially our elderly. I plead with the government. Let's stick to the plan that J&J, the single dose, should be prioritized for our elderly. Mm-hmm. They should be given priority over this. And it's okay with me if you spread it around the country, but it will be better served if it's put in the hot spots, like let's say Cebu, Metro Manila, maybe even CDO and Davao. Mm-hmm. We need to contemplate quick reaction as far as quarantines are concerned. Let's not be scared about imposing ECQs.
Let's get into that, because you mentioned that right off the bat when we introduced you. You're calling out for a proactive, decisive leadership. Do not be scared to impose restrictions. Do you feel that this government currently is scared of doing what should be done?
But I don't know if it's scared. No, I think it's taking a lot of time, too much time, no, in making decisions. No, but you know, as Okta has always argued, the response to COVID is a shared responsibility. It doesn't have to just be government deciding it. Local governments can impose stricter restrictions on their own, and the MMC, the MMDA, the Metro Manila mayors—they're doing their job. You know, they're talking about this. They're arguing we need more. We need to roll back on certain initiatives to loosen up. We need to start thinking about stricter restrictions on mobility and social gatherings. Let's do that quickly now. No, government's trying to ramp up at the end stage, meaning hospital capacity. But our biggest concern in Okta is in expanding testing and tracing, because that is the key. If we can actively find cases, okay, we can isolate them. And before it explodes, no, into a full-blown surge, which, by the way, as we've seen in the other countries, will take a life of its own, and it will drain us, no, of everything, no, our resources. It will cost lives. It will drain our economy because it will take us more months, no, to deal with this. And
you know,
it complicates our vaccination process. You're completely correct.
Yeah, Professor. When we talk about tracing, I mean, we've been talking about this endlessly. Every time we talk, it's all about tracing. That's the weakest link. But what do you do with tracing when it seems like it's an accepted fact that that's the weakest link? And as you correctly pointed out, the funding will be lapsing very soon. Do you get the sense as well that there's acceptance that's how it goes?
We can't, you know, because of the Delta. You know, we just can't accept the status quo. We need to up our game. Honestly, this is the worst challenge as far as COVID is concerned, not just for our country, but for the whole world. Okay, this variant, the Delta Plus variant, the Lambda that's evolving, these variants are game changers. We need to up our game as a people, as a nation, as our government needs to up its game. And it cannot do it if it's complacent. It cannot do it if it's not proactive. It cannot do it without creating this sense of urgency. We've gone through surges, no? But all I'm saying is right now, the impending surge will make all the other surges look like a walk in the park. Mm. And it will devastate us, okay? It's devastated our neighbors. There's no reason to believe it won't devastate us. And maybe because our hospital capacity, as our doctors have been trying out, is weak, maybe it will devastate us even more. There's a genuine opportunity this whole week to ramp up awareness about Delta, its presentation. There's a whole a week left now for us to impose some restrictions in the NCR and maybe rethink the restrictions in other places. To be brutally frank, I think Davao's risk is the same as Iloilo, but Iloilo is on ECQ. Mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting maybe Davao should, Davao City in particular should be ECQ, but you know, we love our kababayans in Davao and we feel maybe more restrictions need to be in place for the situation to be managed there. Mm-hmm. So, let's take away all the other noise, no, from epidemic management and focus on saving lives and preventing, crushing this Delta variant. We have the tools now. We have the vaccine. We have the testing and tracing. Mm-hmm. All we need to do now is create awareness and urgency among our
Professor,
people.
Professor, let me cut you there. You said about, you know, take away all the other noise. What are these noises that you speak of?
You know, it's hard to manage both the economy, livelihoods, and lives. That's a very, very important debate. And I've been talking to the business sector. I've been coordinating with Secretary Joey Concepcion. And, you know, we're always working together. We have to find creative ways to keep the economy open for a longer period of time, at the same time mitigating this Delta variant. We don't need to close down quickly. What we need to do is to impose calibrated restrictions on mobility, on movement. I like what they're doing in Singapore. In Singapore, people who are not vaccinated can't enter the restaurant. They can eat outside. Okay? Mm-hmm. People who are not vaccinated are encouraged not to go out, to do only essential stuff. We need to start expanding testing and identifying cases. And border controls are the key. We may need to contemplate restricted movement from places that are hotspots to places like NCR. Right now, there's one in Ilocos Norte. Okay? All right. We need to constantly be aware and be made aware of the situation as far as biosurveillance is concerned. So we're all, you know, knowledge is empowering. The more we understand, the less we're scared, the more likely as citizens we'll do something more productive than any intervention government does. Mm. So that's why we need to inform people.
You said a while ago that it's going to be devastating if a Delta variant surge happens here in the country. All the other surges that we've experienced in the past would be like a walk in the park. Let's talk about Indonesia, a record number of deaths among doctors. What does this tell you about, and these are vaccinated individuals, right? So if there's any revision that should be made in our vaccination protocols, be it, I don't know, are we talking about booster shots here to better protect our frontliners? Is that something that the Octo Research Group is also looking at and is ready to support?
Yeah, we will support anything that our FDA, our medical experts in the IATF suggest as far as that's concerned. You know, it's a real problem. You know, we know the vaccines that they use there, and we know that they are effective. In general, they are effective. Okay. So that's the first statement I want to know. If you get, whether you get Pfizer, J&J, Astra, or Sinovac, they are effective. Mm-hmm. And the more that we use them, the more vaccinated we are, the more we are able to mitigate any surge or the negative effects of a Delta surge. So that's the most important statement. Now, as to boosters, that's something that the experts, medical experts can suggest, and we will support. You know, in Indonesia, they're suggesting Moderna as a booster. So, you know, this is the way it is, no? And I guess almost all the vaccines will contemplate a booster because of these new variants. But the key statement here is get yourself vaccinated, okay? Mm-hmm. Get yourself vaccinated. You will save your life. You will help your family, protect your family, and you will protect your community. Mm-hmm. Get yourself vaccinated now, especially the elderly, because this Delta is, you know, it hit the elderly population very hard. So when you look at Indonesia, look at all those who died. Yes, there were some people who were completely vaccinated, but they had been exposed to high levels of virus in hospitals. And when you look at their proportion, they're still very small, okay, compared to the larger number of doctors there. Number two, look at all the cases. The critical and severe cases are unvaccinated people. So if you want to survive Delta, the best thing to do is to get yourself vaccinated.
Finally,
if you're not vaccinated, continue to practice with discipline and urgency the minimum public health standards. And that's for everyone, including vaccinated people. That's the best way we can help ourselves and help each other.
Finally, Professor Rai, you mentioned about the devastating effects that this Delta variant could bring. And you also mentioned that it could have an effect on the elections next year. How exactly will a possible spread of this variant affect the elections in 2022?
COVID is an issue in the elections. COVID response is an issue in this coming elections. People's lives were disrupted by this. And the way we are going to respond to this Delta variant surge, which is not a question of if, but a question of when, okay, will affect people's perception about their leaders, whether it's the local or national government. Will the legacy of the mayor be development and democracy or disease and death? Is directly linked to the response to Delta. It's not COVID, you know, it's the Delta variant that we're trying to fight here. And we need to work double time. We need to work together. And we need to work urgently now. So and going back to citizenship and leadership, what we do as individuals in the face of this Delta threat is more important now than anything government does in the fight against COVID, collective fight against COVID-19. If citizens stop working and thinking as individuals and start working together, no, and simply just doing what is needed, doing the role, following the minimum public health standards, doing their share to protect their family by making people aware, we will be able to mitigate the worst impact of this Delta variant. You know, remember, responding to COVID is a collective responsibility of everyone. Okay. If there's a surge, it's a collective failure of everyone, both communities, local governments, the private sector, and the national government. So let's bear that in mind. We can do it. We can do it together if we do it now and if we are proactive, if we act urgently.
Professor Ranjit Rai of the Octor Research Group, always a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Keep safe. Take care.
Keep safe. Thank you, Carmina.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And from there, we're going to take a break now. Up ahead, President Rodrigo Duterte's possible vice presidential bid gets the support of over 20 governors. You're watching Dateline Philippines. Stay with us here on ANC. And we are back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. More COVID-19 cases detected in the athletes' village ahead of this week's opening of the Tokyo Olympics. Indonesia reports a record number of deaths among its doctors as it struggles with a coronavirus surge. The Philippines records its third Delta variant death. The Octor Research Group calling out the lack of urgency from the national government, saying the Delta variant spreading is not a question of if, but when. And over 20 governors backing possible vice presidential bid of President Rodrigo Duterte. Back with more news, over 20 governors from different political parties backing calls for President Duterte to run for vice president next year. Among them are Bulacan Governor Daniel Fernando, Nueva Ecija Governor Aurelio Umali, Quirino Governor Dakila Cua, Bohol Governor Arthur Yap, and Eastern Samar Governor Ben Evardone. They believe Duterte as vice president will continue to benefit the Philippines. President Duterte again hinted he will run for VP during the ruling PDP-Laban Party's General Assembly this past weekend. Meanwhile, Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte Katya defends her recent trips around the Philippines as the pandemic rages. The president's daughter says a decision has to be made about her political career with or without the health crisis. Duterte Carpio, a rumored presidential candidate in the 2022 elections, recently traveled to meet former President Gloria Macapagal Arroyo in Pasay City, Governor Gwen Garcia in Cebu, and Zamboanga City Mayor Ben Climaco. But she says her trips were covered by duly filed absences that she's not neglecting her duties as Davao City Mayor. Vice President Lenny Robredo welcomes the call of several senators to investigate alleged state-sponsored troll farms. During her weekly radio show, Robredo stressed the need for a probe, citing the serious life and death consequences of online misinformation. 12 senators earlier filed a resolution seeking to investigate reports public funds are being used to set up troll farms all over the country ahead of next year's polls.
Ano ba yung epekto ng pagkakaroon ng mga troll sa atin? Pinapag-away-away yung mga tao. Hindi ba ka, Ellie, ever since naman may mga oposisyon, may administrasyon, pero hindi ganito kagrabe yung away. Mula 2016, magkontra ka sa administrasyon, isa-swarm ka. Isa-swarm ka ng mga trolls. Na ito, yung karapatan mo na pumuna ay... nawawala kasi natatakot yung ibang tao.
The Anti-Terrorism Council has designated the National Democratic Front as a terrorist organization. In a resolution signed last June 23, the council called the NDF an integral and inseparable part, of the Communist Party of the Philippines and the New People's Army. It also noted CPP founder Jose Maria Sison identified the CPP-NPA as allied organizations of the NDF. The CPP-NPA was designated as a terrorist organization last year. A court in Olongapo City junks the first known anti-terrorism case in the Philippines. The two ETAs were arrested in August 2020 for allegedly firing at military members, killing one soldier. But the court said the prosecution failed to prove the identities of the accused as the perpetrators. It also noted inconsistencies in the statements of witnesses. The Philippines could start COVID-19 vaccinations for students next month. That's according to Education Secretary Leonor Briones, citing Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. But she says it is still ultimately up to President Rodrigo Duterte on green-lighting the vaccination of students. Almost all senior citizens in Pasig City have been vaccinated against COVID-19. That's despite reports of vaccine hesitancy among that age group nationwide. Pasig Mayor Vico Soto says almost 50,000 of the senior citizens residing in the city have already received their first dose.
Because everyone had months to create their Pasig Pass account. So familiar sila dun sa ano, familiar na sila sa sistema. We're doing our best information campaign both on social media and on the ground, pati yung pagpapaskil ng TARP. Pero nakita kasi namin na ang pinaka-epektibong paraan para makumbinsi ang isang tao na mabakunahan ay word of mouth. Kahit anong commercial sa TV, kahit anong Facebook post, kahit anong sabihin ko.
Yeah.
Ang pinaka nakapagtataas ng kumpiyansa ng tao sa bakuna ay pag nakita nila, ay yung pinsan ko na bakunahan na, okay naman siya.
Tama.
Ay yung anak ko na bakunahan, senior na, ayun, anak ko na bakunahan na. Oo. Nahawaan siya ng COVID, halos wala siyang symptoms.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson goes on self-isolation while the rest of England prepares for Freedom Day or the lifting of almost all COVID-19 restrictions. Details in this report.
And that's why I'm going to be self-isolating until the 26th of July, Monday, the 26th of July.
As England prepares to lift all remaining COVID-19 restrictions Monday, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who announced that controversial decision less than 1 week prior, said on Sunday that he will be stuck at home, forced to quarantine at his country residence after coming in contact with UK Health Minister Sajid Javid, who has tested positive for the coronavirus. Johnson's announcement came after he and the country's finance minister, who also had contact with Javid, were heavily criticized for initially saying they would take part in a pilot program that would have allowed them to continue working.
We did look briefly at the idea of us taking part in the pilot scheme, which allows people to test daily. But I think it's far more important that everybody sticks to the same rules.
Despite a surge in infections, England will proceed on Monday with lifting mask mandates and social distancing requirements in what the British press has dubbed Freedom Day. Johnson, now confined to his home, used his video message to plead with the public to be cautious and to get vaccinated.
Go forward tomorrow into the next step with all the right prudence and respect for other people and the risks that the disease continues to present. And above all, please, 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 when you're asked to get that second jab, get your jab, please come forward and do it.
Nearly 88% of England's adult population has had one vaccine, and nearly 68% have had a second dose.
The death toll from the floods in Western Europe rises to 188. 157 of the fatalities were recorded in Germany, while 13 were from Belgium. Police expect to find more bodies as floodwaters recede. German Chancellor Angela Merkel described the country's worst natural disaster in almost six decades as terrifying. She vowed swift financial aid to those affected, as well as more climate action. Entire communities in Western Germany and parts of Belgium have been cut off without power or communications since the flooding began on Wednesday. Over in the U.S., residents in several communities along the path of a rapidly growing wildfire at the California-Nevada border forced to evacuate. That's as the so-called Tamarack Fire near Lake Tahoe blew up to over 20,000 acres, or almost 33 square miles. Authorities say they were still unable to contain the blaze. The fire, sparked by a lightning strike, started July 4. Meanwhile, in neighboring Oregon State, where another sprawling wildfire rages, the community comes together to help residents who had to flee their homes. Take a look.
Bootleg fire continued to rage in southern Oregon on Sunday, scorching nearly 300,000 acres, destroying dozens of homes, and leaving roughly 2,000 residents displaced in Klamath County. On Friday, the Oregon Department of Forestry listed more than 5,000 homes as threatened, about 3,000 more than a day earlier. Valerie O'Dai, who helps head the charity Relief Angels, was in the small, tight-knit community of Bly to unload supplies, including food and bottled water, to the evacuees.
I was up on the mountain yesterday, and I was able to see some of the devastation and the heartache of people coming back to their homes where they've lived their whole lives. People that have built it literally with their own hands, and it's gone.
Lita Hunter, who heads the Bly Community Action Team, said she expects to see more requests for supplies as the wildfire continues to grow.
A lot of devastation going on in our area. So many people have come in to get supplies here that have completely lost everything. We had a load this morning, came from Silverton, Oregon, and we have a load in the morning coming from Portland. I am in awe of the donations we've received.
The bootleg fire, which erupted on July 6th, is the biggest among dozens of wildfires tearing across the tinder dry landscape of the western United States. And forestry officials said it was Oregon's fifth largest blaze in more than a century. The cause is still under investigation.
In business, crude prices ease as OPEC Plus ministers agree to boost oil supply after resolving an internal dispute. Brent crude declined to $73.11 per barrel after falling 2.6% last week. On Sunday, OPEC and its allies agreed to increase supply by 2 million barrels per day from August to December 2021. They also agreed to extend their overall pact until the end of 2022 to leave more room to maneuver measure in case the global recovery stalls due to COVID-19 variants. OPEC Plus talks earlier hit a roadblock when the United Arab Emirates objected to Saudi's proposal of extending the pact to December 2022 without getting a higher production quota. The easing of world oil prices not yet reflected here at home. In fact, motorists will be seeing a 30 centavo increase for every liter of diesel and kerosene tomorrow. Shell and Petrogas, rather, will also be hiking their gasoline prices by 10 centavos per liter. But Clean Fuel says there will be no movement in their gasoline prices. Philippine Central Bank Governor Benjamin Diokno says a third COVID-19 stimulus package will not help the country improve its credit rating standing. Diokno points out Fitch Ratings affirmed the country's investment grade at BBB when it revised its outlook to negative from stable. To improve ratings prospects, Diokno says the Philippines needs to accelerate its vaccine rollout, pursue structural reforms, and continue government's infrastructure program. Several lawmakers, economists, and even business leaders have called for more fiscal stimulus. They believe the Philippines' pandemic spending is lagging compared to regional peers. The Duterte administration launches the new passenger terminal at the Clark International Airport in Pampanga. The new building can accommodate around 8 million passengers per year. It also has new features like contactless self-check-in and self-bag drop-off.
And to show the world that we are actually ready, pagka wala nang travel restrictions, ready na tayo to open up. Lahat dito ay contactless. E yun naman ang hinahanap ng mga travelers, less contact. So ang maganda, when this was built, yun na, lahat ng COVID-proof na siya talaga.
The Clark International Airport aims to be an alternative to Manila's main gateway, the Ninoy Aquino International Airport. The new terminal will be operational within the year. In sports, Mercedes driver Lewis Hamilton wins this year's British Grand Prix, but the race was not without controversy. A collision between him and current points leader Max Verstappen took place in the first lap. It was the worst possible result for the red driver, who had started on pole position with a 33-point lead and was seeking a fourth win in a row. Hamilton has cut down that lead to just 2 points.
Oh God, it was such a physically difficult race. What great weather. We got the best, best crowd. Our home crowd is the best. Thank you guys so much. Honestly, there's nowhere we go where we see people like this. They ain't got what we got. I'm so grateful to the fans. You know, I wish everyone to stay safe as always and get home safely.
In golf, tournament debutant Colin Morikawa proves he belongs among the sport's elite as he won the Open Championship by 2 strokes. The 24-year-old American played picture-perfect golf, producing a 4-under round of 66 to overcome the 1-stroke lead of Louis Oosthuizen. Morikawa finished the tournament on 15 under 265. He became the first player to win 2 majors on debut, having also claimed the PGA Championship last year.
This is by far. Look at all the stands. Let's hear it for you guys. You guys have been amazing. I'm obviously very biased, being from the U.S., but to see some of the best crowds I've ever seen out here, I look forward to making my trip every year to the British Open and see you guys cheer us on. Thank you, guys.
The latest now on Britney Spears' conservatorship case. The pop star says she will not perform again while her father retains control over her career. This report.
Britney Spears said on Saturday she would not perform again while her father retains control over her career, adding that the conservatorship she's been under for 13 years had, quote, killed my dreams. Her remarks in a lengthy Instagram post were the latest in a series of emotional public comments. The conservatorship controls her personal and financial affairs, and she's begged for it to be brought to an end. The pop star's father, Jamie Spears, has sole control of his daughter's $60 million estate under the court-appointed arrangement that he set up in 2008. 39-year-old Spears has undisclosed mental health issues and has not performed in public since late 2018. This week, she appointed a new lawyer to represent her in her bid to bring the conservatorship to an end, calling it abusive. Spears and her lawyer have yet to file a formal request to end the conservatorship. The next court hearing is September 29th in Los Angeles.
That'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.